have Werner on the phone? Werner. Sorry for the interruption here. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. No, when you watch, sometimes can watch when some of the most vicious predators, you know, like lions or other animals, when they, about who is leading the tribe, you know, who is leading the herd or so, when they come into a disagreement and they start fighting, as soon as one of the combatants basically gives up and gives a sign to the superior animal, then they lay on their back and then the other one walks away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what is done with modern warfare.
No.
You know, and it wasn't just only Germany. How many other countries ever since and the civilian population have been devastated?
You're right.
And then we have to look at here in North America. I basically look at it and say a lot of people, they had been whipped up by propaganda movies, over 500 propaganda movies, to find useful idiots to go for the bankers to war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and basically
and they're still producing them about World War II.
Yeah, and here in Canada they got the law inciting hatred about identifiable group of people, you know, the same way in some of the European countries and Germany and so on, you know.
Right.
But maybe precedent cases have to be established, going after the movie studios and the ones who finance those movies, initiate those movies, to drag them into court.
Well, their rationale is that it's simply entertainment. But people look at TV and they think that it mimics life. They don't think it consciously, but they get the idea that it mimics life. And people, when they're watching these movies, they are not participating. They're not actively reading something. And there is more of an opportunity to indoctrinate people who are watching a movie than there is if they're reading a book. It's just something about the vehicle for the transfer of information. And people accept this as true. They don't say, well, this was written by who wrote this? Who wrote the script? What was their objective? Why are they doing this? And people don't critically think about that.
Yeah,
and they don't read history. They don't read history. They get most of their information now, not from reading, but from watching movies or YouTube or whatever. And my one of my favorite sayings is, people who do not read have no advantage over those that cannot read.
Because the ones who do not read, they watch the movies.
Well,
so they get everything presented, you know, ready, and they digest it.
Everything has been abbreviated. And we've learned to accept this. Okay, when the calculators first came out, they were really, they were very expensive, from what I understand. And now people use calculators, and they've lost the ability to add and subtract. We're losing our abilities, our skills, because of the technology, because of the convenience of things. We've lost our ability to interact with each other so that we can talk about our problems, our issues. And as far as getting back to Las Vegas, I am surprised that there are not more shootings than there are, because there's a lot of people on psych drugs which have black box labels, which have warnings that say this drug might cause suicide or homicide ideation. And yet, people who take these drugs, they never assume or think that it could be them. It's like the person who smokes. Oh, I'm not going to get cancer. This isn't going to happen to me. It's going to happen to the guy next door. And so when we avail ourselves of pharmaceutical medications and pharmaceutical products, we need to really realize what we're doing and what kind of consequences those products have on our bodies. I don't know how I transferred from calculators to that, but we just need to wake up and look what's happening to our culture, and find some method of dealing with it on an individual basis.
And we have a certain amount of IQ, you know, and if you don't use it, we lose it. With a lot of those drugs and everything that are being prescribed by the so-called medical horse for hire and psychiatrist, you know, they should be held accountable.
But who's going to do that? Because
it takes people to finally say, we got enough, inform themselves about it, you know, and then hold the so-called experts to task. And about the so-called indoctrination that's happened in the universities, who controls the universities, who finances universities, and whoever finances it, you know, basically sets the parameters for the curriculum that's being taught in universities. And
that's true.
Who is putting up the money.
See, most of your universities are corporations. And they have a board of trustees. And the board of trustees decides what the curriculum is going to be. And so, as I mentioned earlier, we are a corporatocracy. And so it's a big fight. So we may not be able to win the war, but we can win our individual battles by making choices that are relevant to us. Each person is responsible to educate themselves so that they can make choices that will be of benefit to them. Whether it's not to vaccinate your children, which of course I wish I'd never done, or not to take psych drugs. There are so many people on psych drugs. And it is now that school teachers are instructed to look for children who might have a problem, whether they're overactive, which most boys are overactive, and to get them on drugs, because if they do that, then they get more federal money. It's all a big scam. It's all about money.
And you talk quite often about the, you know, revision of the history about the last 100 years and the wars, the people in the Allied countries have been involved, especially against Germany. You know, mm-hmm. I got a real wake-up call a few years ago when I came on the internet across the original speeches Hitler gave and some of his the leaders in the National Socialist Party in public addresses, and it sure did not fit the picture we were being presented when I grew up in Germany after the war, where the school curriculum and the media and everything was being controlled by the Allied forces.
Right, you know? They denazified the entire country. They got rid of all the teachers. They took over the communication system. They took over everything. And Germany has never gotten a constitution. They are still, they're still occupied.
Yeah, and as I say, when I went to agriculture college in the mid-60s, we were being sent for 1 week to basically a training course where they taught us the Allied version of the history between 1933 and 1945-46. And it was the same crap about the 6 million and all that, mm-hmm. you know. But then I came across, according to a census of the Jewish census in 1938, about the different the number of the different people in the world that are members of the different religions, and mm-hmm. it was stated that from the Jewish religion there were between 15 and 16 million people.
They're the only ethnic group that actually increased during World War II.
Increased by approximately 400,000.
Yes, that is according to their figures, not anybody else's.
Yeah, and there were not 6 million missing, whereas all the other countries that were involved in the war, they had millions of lives lost.
That is true.
You know, and as I say, I look at the basic facts and figures and statistics, and this is what we have to do in order to cut through all the crap we are being getting through the Hollywood propaganda, and we know who finances Hollywood and who makes the money.
Sure. That is true. Yeah. And they admit it. They admit it. They say we own Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious. And certainly it has a great impact on our culture, because especially on the younger generation, they want to emulate all of those glamorous people that they see. And yeah. That's pretty sad.
At least on your side of the border, you can still speak out about it. But here in Canada, it is a criminal offense. In Germany and in some other European country, the people who speak out, they run the risk of being criminally prosecuted.
Prosecuted, that's right.
Yeah.
And even here in this country.
Well, they got other ways
it's
of...
It's not a popular thing. Yeah, we censor ourselves.
They got other ways of cutting down on any kind of an opposition that questions their version of history.
That's true.
You know.
Werner, we have some other callers who have been on for, oh my goodness, almost an hour. So,
thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much for calling. I always love to hear your voice. Take care.
I don't know. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, Ed in Utah. Ed, welcome.
Yeah, Deanna.
Oh, thank you for holding on. Bless your heart.
Yeah, not a problem. A lot's gone on in the world and in the news since I last spoke with you. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah, we've gone lately from Hurricane Harvey to Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
And
both very destructive entities.
Yes, very destructive. In fact, a couple things I want to kick around with you. One of your past guests, David Duke, he said that he had urged Donald Trump in the days before Donald Trump actually said something the other night concerning the NFL football situation tomorrow with Jerry Jones down in Dallas. And he said he urged Donald Trump to essentially call for a boycott of the NFL, which is essentially what Donald Trump did the next day, which, of course, caused David Duke to say that they can't directly contact him, but they do listen to some of the things he has to say, as they do with Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts, et cetera, and perhaps even RBN, I hope. So what I want to kick around with you, this could be pounced upon, Diana, and this could be a golden opportunity, if some are saying, the Weinstein revelations. In the previous show, on the previous program, one of the guests had made the comment that, keep in mind that these revelations, although true and what have you, they've been known about for 12 years, suppressed by the New York Times and what have you, and the New York PD, about Weinstein. And therefore, it leads to this. Is there a turf war? And can this turf war be agitated for the purposes on our part, Dana, of exposure? Because, as Dr. David Duke said in his latest on DavidDuke.com, that Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood and all the filthy pigs that run it, Harvey Weinstein is the Jewish rule, not the exception. And keeping that in mind, and the type of crap and dehumanizing, not even perverted, the word doesn't describe the Weinstein movies, The Priest and The Crying Game, and his, he was defiling these women, Deanna, the same way he was trying to defile America with his movies. And this can't just be confined to that powerful pig. Even Limbaugh has been referring to him as a powerful pig in second tense, you know, so he doesn't get a lot of direct heat. But he's been doing that because of this fella. This should be taken advantage of from all quarters. And it sure is telling who in the, as you put it, so-called alternative media, where they're not pouncing on it in the same way. They're talking around it. They're poking fun just at Weinstein as if he could have acted alone when, heck, he was tapped into the Democrat hierarchy and what have you, Hillary Clinton et al. So that's kind of what one of the points I wanted to make with you and your feedback.
Okay, well, I was talking with somebody this morning about this particular thing, and I used to work in the textile industry, and I ran into, well, the textile industry is monopolized by that particular group, and honestly, I didn't meet a lot of men who were decent. They were a lot of womanizers, liars. They tried to cheat me out of commissions that I had earned. It's just they're pretty much all the same. My experience has been that they are pretty much the same. Now, whether it's just in the textile industry, but look at the culture, look at the movies. If I remember at a time when my children were little, we got rid of the television because it was so awful. And then about 7 years later, we got conned into getting a TV. So we got this little TV. I was absolutely shocked by the change that took place in those 7 years. The garbage that's on TV now, oh my gosh, it's...
Yeah, Deanna, all the Protestant strictures of the 60s have been just gotten rid of by the wayside. And
Lucy and Desi used to sleep in separate beds. And now you have sex scenes on regular TV. And you think...
Yes.
And you don't think. It happens incrementally to the point that people just accept this garbage as entertainment. Yep. When it is really altering our culture in a very, very horrible way. Horrible way.
Right.
Especially our young people.
Yes. And when you look at the pedophilia and what General Flynn was trying to push Donald Trump into going after them and John Podesta, and the whole Pizzagate deal, that some say, credible people, that's one reason they got rid of them. I think Paul Craig Roberts thought the same. So back to this culture war and the second part of it. Football is not that important in the overall scheme of things, Deanna, of course. But the culture that has bred it and the rise of the Negro in the hearts and minds of the young through this media, and the NFL Football Network and the gods that run it. Maybe David Duke had a heck of a good point, and perhaps there's a speck of whatever. Who expected Donald Trump? I didn't. I didn't know he was thinking along the lines, taking time out to go after the NFL and the anthem and flag debacle. But it's like he took on the culture war. It's like he jumped into it and forced some to back down, at least show some kind of respect. Some of the things that did the hearts good of a lot of us, not that this is going to necessarily go anywhere, but he did jump into this. Do you see any other ulterior motive that I may not be seeing?
Well, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump.
Oh, we have a break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we were talking with Ed in Utah, and you asked me what I thought of Donald Trump or about the situation.
Yeah, tomorrow's NFL game.
Well, if you really look at the history of the NFL, if you look at the history of how it got so militarized and everything else, if you look at the history of how they started using, the Pledge of Allegiance and all the uniforms and everything else, I think I'm more concerned about the fact that he is continuing to increase troops in the Middle East when, in fact, he said that we didn't belong there when he was campaigning. So I'm not looking at the NFL. To me, it's a small thing. I'm sorry, but it's a small thing. And as I say, okay, if you look at the history, it's just kind of insignificant.
Yeah. Well, my thought on that could also be this, Deanna. In the broad base that got him elected, we are, I was one of them that was rolling the dice, as many of the network here did, and me as a caller. But the broad base were the people that could have been easily conned, and right in Utah, so many were looking toward Ted Cruz, and then regrettably, so many were looking at Evan McMullen in a three-way split for Hillary and what have you. So if Trump is playing politics to assuage some of them people, could this be a move to curry some of that favor tomorrow, when also tomorrow is a very big day on the political world stage, where he has talked a game about getting out of this, in his words, this terrible Iran run a nuclear deal, but in reality, we'll keep it going to the dismay of the tribal lobby that controls us. Could he be trying to cure his base and keep that intact, Anna, so he can do this, sticking his finger in the eye of Netanyahu?
Probably, because nobody's going to be elected president in this country unless they... Okay, if you look at the protocols, years ago, 100 years ago, they said, we elect the presidents. Okay, we had two people, literally two people to choose from. Hillary Clinton and most of the people that voted for Trump actually were voting against Hillary Clinton. What choice did we have? We would have been better off picking somebody out of the phone book. If you look at his history, and if you look at who he has always communicated with, who he's always worked with, who he's done business with, whether you're talking about his casinos or whether you're talking about his business in Manhattan, none of that would have occurred without the acquiescence of the Jewish population there. You cannot do business in Manhattan without their okay.
Right, right.
He grew up. He went to a private school that was mostly attended by Jewish people.
Yes.
So I think that people have placed a lot of trust in somebody that they cannot trust.
Well, one last thing I'll say to that, Deanna, somebody you and I mutually admire, the late, great Michael Collins Piper.
I miss Mike so much.
Yes, I would be very, what a loss it was not to have his commentary on the goings-ons and what have you. But, and of course, he is the author. And I've showed it to people recently, not to dissuade or take away any luster from hope in Trump as such, but as you know, he wrote that famous article, Who Towers Over Trump, in the American Free Press.
Yes.
And you're right about so much. In fact, let me just reiterate one thing that I have quoted on talk radio, on K-Talk locally in Salt Lake City over the years, and that is this. A lot of people don't know his book, and you're talking to somebody that voted for Donald Trump. Again, a roll of the dice, no pun intended. And what he did... Piper exposed the Mary Carter Paint Company as being a wholly owned subsidiary of the CIA Mossad. That's exactly what the Mary Carter Paint Company was. But that company was taken over, bought out. It morphed into, get this, Resorts International, the Trump Empire. And so you have that. And so one might ask, well, if I know about these Jewish connections and the connections that you point out, after all, he grew up in New York, Mr. Trump, why would I trust him as such? My hope still lies in, look with Kirchner and his own daughter, and just like the kings in the old court in Daniel's day and what have you, watch under watchful Jewish eyes, is he trying to break through and thereby, for the rest of us, break through from these Jewish masters? And perhaps did he have something to do with the exposure of Weinstein?
I don't know about that. I think Weinstein exposed himself. He exposed himself.
You are tuned in. Thanks a lot for the airtime, Deanna.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
By going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. That toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And just getting back to Trump. Kushner's father financed a lot of the settlements over in the Gaza Strip. That does not bode well. Recently, Trump met with Kissinger, and Kissinger has counseled so many presidents and so many other people who were running for office. One would think that, well, knowing Kissinger and the information, the things that I've studied about him, recall that he said about military people that they were nothing but a bunch of stupid animals. So I do not trust Trump for many, many reasons. Many reasons. I do not trust him. So, okay, let's take Frank in North Carolina. Frank?
Deanna, thanks for taking my call. Hey, actually, I have to agree with Kissinger on that. I think military people are a bunch of dumb animals. I'm a Marine Corps, NCO, former, infantry NCO myself. And, it's like General Smedley Butler said. I think he had stated in War is a Racket that he'd never had. he had never had an original thought until after he'd left the military. And even with these high-ranking officers, I think you'll find they don't ever speak out. They don't ever speak out or see truth or tell truth until after they're out. But you're right. He did pay a heavy price for that.
He did. Now, my grandfather was his aide in China. And my grandfather, well, of course, was in the Marine Corps. And they wrote a book together. I don't know that it was ever published. But my grandfather was the pulp king of America during the 1930s and 40s. He was quite an interesting individual. I didn't actually meet him until I was 14. He was still pro-military. But as you said, Schmedley Butler wrote War is a Racket. And if you read his book and understand what he was saying, and then, of course, as you say, when he got out of the military, he went into a government facility because he was feeling kind of run down. And keep in mind that he had been through a lot of military exercises and was a very strong, sturdy individual. And yet he died very soon after going into a military facility for a rest. He went there to rest, and he died of cancer.
Yeah, he was a two-time recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor, just for those who are unfamiliar with him.
Yes.
He did
things that helped. When he went in China, for instance, he was there. He helped the local population. It's amazing some of the things that they did in China to help the locals, to rebuild bridges and to do things like that. My father was born out of the country. His first language was Spanish because he was, you know, with my grandfather was in the military. But anyway, enough of that. But go ahead with what you were saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I was late. When I went in the military, there was no such thing as the internet. I mean, we never heard of cell phones except on Star Trek with Spock and those people.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a little toy cell phone. It was called a communicator when I was a kid in the 70s. But, I had an aunt and uncle that were kind of like peaceniks from the, you know, flower children days, and I remember they said a few things here and there. We were watching a John Wayne movie one day, me and my two cousins.
Can't stand
and
that man.
What was it? The Green Berets, and they yelled from the other room. My uncle, my dad's sister's husband, he yelled, you know, that's a bunch of propaganda or something. We all just rolled our eyes like, oh yeah. But you know,
he was right.
When I joined the Marines, yeah, but he never warned me, though. When I joined the Marines, he said, boy, you really look sharp in your uniform and everything, blah, blah, blah. But see, Ronald Reagan had come along then. See, mm-hmm. He was very successful. He was a technical guy, and he traveled all over the world. He was a technical drafting instructor or something. I don't know, with blueprints and stuff. But see, he did very well. So I guess he got that new patriotism that Ronald Reagan brought, maybe. But the thing is, I didn't wake up. I was neocon. I bought into all that. I used to, you know, the first thing I do when I would get home or get to a hotel room in the evening would be turn on, you know, find out, okay, which channel's Fox News? Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity.
Yes.
And I listened to Rush Limbaugh for 15 years whenever I could at lunchtime. I never woke up. But I started scratching my head back in early 2005 trying to, you know, I knew something was missing. They weren't telling me the whole truth. I'm not going to get into that. It would take too long. What it was, but it was the waning days of 2005 and the first couple of weeks of 2006 before the blinders came off. So I was neocon. There was a spell. You know, when you go into the military, you know, you're basically put under a cast, or you're under the cast of a spell where you can't think, you can't use rational thought, reasoning, or anything like
it's
that.
It's traumatic, you know, training. It's the same kind of training.
But even before that, like you're talking about with the football games and all of that, and the honor guards and, you know, patriotism and the Marine Corps drill, you know, they come out, the recruiters come out, you know, to the high schools. And you're like, wow, that seems pretty cool. You know, I like that. I think I could be sharp enough to be one of those guys, and that would be kind of cool. But, you know, the thing is now, though, you're prior military. With the advent of the Internet, I mean, I could see these, you know, these people that come from, like, blue-collar families where there's a lot of ignorance, maybe, or maybe not, but you know, where they maybe they weren't, didn't really access the internet that much or whatever. But I mean, particularly with college educated like officers, people that are coming out of West Point and whatnot, I mean, since 9/11, how could they not know they're working for a criminal? It's not our military. It's not our military. It's the bankers' military. It's not our government. We are occupied. We were talking about Germany earlier being occupied since World War II. They're still occupied, but we're occupied too. And
absolutely.
You know, I think Zog is as good as anything else. Hey, by the way, I wanted to ask you about something you said earlier. But before I do that, before I forget, you know, a caller earlier had talked about which Prescott James brought over, you know, during Operation.
Yeah, he said Preston, but he meant Prescott.
Okay, because I, you know, I mean, you got George W. Bush, and then you got his father, George H. W. Bush. Now he was mm-hmm. a World War II naval pilot, and he was supposedly shot down in the Pacific Theater during World War II. So I wasn't quite understanding that questioning about was Bush brought over Operation Paperclip.
There is a section of the population that has been led to believe that the Bushes are a German family. It's just kind of a convoluted theory that should not be taken seriously.
I've been familiar with that for about 10 years, and I was always kind of on the fence about that. But you know, to me, they're just high level servant class to the Rothschilds. That's mm-hmm. how I always just you know, file them away in my mind. But and you were talking about the textile industry, and that I was unaware of that. I think of what you were saying, that there was so much control of the textile industry. I wouldn't have thought that.
Absolutely.
But I guess so, because it's a really old industry. I mean, it goes way back. So, but could you? I don't know if the caller might have spoken over you or something, but there was a few key points that I was unable to hear you. Maybe the caller had spoken over you or something. Maybe I was distracted. But could you rehash that real quick, what your
okay.
experience?
I worked for, I was a fabric rep, and I sold textiles, fabrics, trims, and laces to fabric stores, manufacturers, and, you know, just whoever I could sell to. In fact, I sold to American Girl Doll when they were still in a little tiny office in downtown Madison. I called on them, and they were wondering about how to do heirloom sewing. I took my sewing machine. I showed them how to do laces, how to put laces to fabric in the best way that they could, in the easiest way that they could. And they were one of my clients. And one of the owners of one of the Swiss lace companies came over. I picked he and the gentleman that I actually worked for that owned a company here in, actually in Florida. I picked them up at O'Hare. We drove up to Madison. And at that point in time, their warehouse was the size of a football field. But they were one of my first original clients. So anyway, yes, textiles are monopolized by Jewish people. Whether you're talking about New York, whether you're talking about California, all of the companies that I worked for were owned by Jewish individuals. And
okay, and you had stated too that you had dated a number of these individuals, Jewish individuals.
No. I said that they were womanizers, and that no.
Okay, I wouldn't have faulted you if that was the case. I wasn't criticizing. I just, you know, those are always good opportunities to get information.
I guess a lot of
men are womenizers. You know, a lot of non-Jewish men are womenizers too. I mean, I'm an objective thinker.
That's true. But I found that many times this one particular company tried to cheat me out of my commission. They were just I don't know how to put this. they just weren't the kind of people that you could trust. And when I was out on the road, gosh, I took my sewing machine with me, and when I was in a hotel room, I'd be quilting or I would be making things. Whereas a lot of the salespeople would be out drinking or whatever it was they were doing. But I was very hardworking, very competitive. Anyway, it was a very rough business. And what is also very interesting is that pretty soon most of the fabric shops that I'm reading some comments in the chat room, a lot of the fabric shops that I used to call on are no longer in business because of the big corporations have come in. For instance, Walmart has a fabric section, and a lot of the reps wanted to sell to Walmart. However, what you do when you sell to the big corporation is you put the little guy out of business. And it's very sad. I saw a lot of businesses go under during that time. I think that probably at the end of my career as a rep, I don't know that how I could have made a living because of the situation with all of the company or all of the, if I hadn't gone after the manufacturers, I couldn't have done it with just fabric shops. And people used to sew. Women used to sew. Everyone sewed. Everyone seemed to have a sewing machine. People sewed. People made. I made all my kids. I made clothes for my kids. Just about everything they wore. Of course, I did a lot of other things too. I made bread and all kinds of things. But anyway, it was a difficult situation.
Yeah, I remember when my grandmother, she had a room designated as the sewing room. It was used for
absolutely.
A couple other things, but it was her room. She used to sew her own clothes, and you'd never know it. I mean, they looked like something you'd buy at a store. I mean, she was a very, ladylike Southern woman. But
I took a tailoring class. I took a tailoring class from a professional tailor so that I could tailor suits for my husband. And they looked better than what he could buy at the store. And I did it because it was an economic issue and because I liked to create. And, yeah, sewing was something that we did and we were proud to do it. And it was creative and it was satisfying and in addition to the economic value that it presented.
One last thing, as everybody says, I have to maintain kind of a hard and kind of dark opinion on one thing, one phenomenon, and I just don't let the Jews off the hook that easily. The Jews are just known wherever they go in Western civilization, wherever in America, American society, or wherever they go, they go in, they infiltrate things, and they diminish the moral character of that community. And I will not back off on that. And it's historical.
You're just being intolerant. Just because they were thrown out of 109 countries doesn't mean it was their fault. It was probably something wrong with those people in those 109 countries. Come on, Frank.
It's like the bartender thing. I heard somebody describing this like, some bad drunk, he's been thrown out of 190 bars, every bar in town. And he says it's a problem with the bartender. He
Absolutely.
Wants to blame the bartender. I'm like, no. If you have a problem with drink, you have a drinking problem, you have a behavior problem, you cannot be in polite society. All right, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, let's go to Joel in Wisconsin. Joel?
Yes.
Yes, welcome.
I had some things to talk about, but it's taking too long. So I'll just bring this up. As far as the people trying to piece together what happened and the current situation in Las Vegas, you got to remember that what you think you know about it, you're getting your information from the people who either perpetrated the crime or are covering it up with
sure.
an agenda. So whatever you think you know for sure, I have to doubt that. I mean, we don't even know what happened with JFK. That was over 50 years ago, or Robert Kennedy, or the Gulf of Tonkin, or you were even brought up that you believed there were 6 million Jews that got killed in the Holocaust. They're going to keep
coming out. Well, that was a long time ago that I believed that.
I know that, but you believed it for a long time, and you were
absolutely pretty
outgoing. Yeah, so there's people doing that right now, based on the information that they think they know, when they have to realize who gave them that information. And those people that gave it to them are going to give them something else tomorrow.
Oh, you're right. You're right, Joel. Okay, we're going to go to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And I was going to talk about Christopher Columbus today. If you want to know what I think about him, read it in my book. He was a savage murderer who tortured and killed millions of innocent people. He was a piece of garbage. Okay. Joel, did you have some other things that you wanted to say?
Yes, if there's time. I would like to remind the people that on 911, day one, they came out and said there was 50,000 dead people in New York alone, if you remember that. Giuliani came out and said, after the towers went down, he said, there's 25,000 people under that pile, and there's 25,000 people under that pile. And that was just New York alone.
Yes.
And that number went from 50,000 people down to 3,000.
Three. Yes.
Now look at that percentage of how of error that they were given away there.
Indeed.
And this is really why I called. If it'll give my age away. When I was young, and I grew up in a 60,000 town of 60,000, and if you go out into the country, you would see road signs that say little town such and such. It would give the town's name, and it would give the population, and then it would say unincorporated.
Right.
Do you remember anything? Was that around where you were, too?
Well, there was... No, I grew up in California. There were still... but I know that there are still unincorporated towns.
Oh, I didn't
Not
know
many.
That.
Not many.
Right. And I used to ask people, what did that mean? And nobody knew. I didn't know there were still some around.
Not very many.
No, I doubt it, yeah. Okay, because that's why I was originally calling, because you were talking about corporations. And that's actually a Jewish idea, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I thought so. Same with the centralized banking. That's, well, we know where that comes from.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's all I got.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, let's take Chris near Las Vegas. Chris, welcome.
Well, good afternoon, Deanna. You don't have very long, so I want to go back to the first thing.
The time is flying by.
That was Experian. And remember, Experian's owners, the CEO there, sold a gargantuan amount of stock several weeks prior to the so-called NADA breach, or maybe they sold it off to somebody.
Well, that was Equifax. Equifax,
my misstatement. I didn't mean to intentionally misstate it. They absolutely did that and breached the customer's fiduciary duty that they owed to them by selling off the data and posed it as breached, much like the so-called breach of the DNC's downloaded servers by Seth Rich, I think it was, that they whacked.
Yes.
And so the same thing took place in Las Vegas with the owners of MGM and the Mandalay Bay selling off much of their stock, I think 1.65 million shares at about $39 a share. So they made a rather large profit several weeks, I think it was back in August, prior to this event. And then precipitously this stock here fell, which means they could have repurchased their position, gleaned the income from the sale at the high price, and then bought it back at the cheap price.
Wow. Wow. Very interesting. Well, thank you so much, Chris, and thank you all the callers. And I'm sorry that I couldn't get to you, Kent, and whoever else called in. Thank you so much for joining me today. Take care. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.